Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We're live in downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Busy hour coming up. Tonight's Major League Baseball card. I think there are some plus matchups for some individual batters coming up in those games. NBA Finals. And we head out here to the Progressive Guest Line as Jeff Sherman joins the program now. He is the VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. And he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Jeff, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing great. How's it going, guys?
Doing really well. Can't wait for this game tonight. Thunder now out to they're massive favorites in this game tonight and for the series. I'll start here. A lot of people making a big deal like, oh, nobody's going to watch. Who cares, right? Why is that such a thing? And I thought Andrew Siciliano had a great tweet. He said, oh, you're not excited about TV market number 25 visiting TV market number 47 tonight in the NBA Finals? Wait until I tell you that the Chiefs, number 33, and the Bills, number 54, that game's coming up in week number 9. No kidding. Great job, Andrew, with that tweet. But and I'm not going to ask you to compare this like when the Lakers are in it, because we're a Lakers town, and for years, Las Vegas would, you could put up any number on the Lakers. People are going to bet it because they love that team. But because of who's playing starting tonight in this series, are you seeing that as, reflected in the betting handle overall?
Yeah, it's less than we would get with other matchups. Had the Knicks been in there, we'd have more betting handle on this. And you have to look at it, not the size of the market plays into it, from the perspective of how the amount of fans for these teams. And there's not many for Indiana and Oklahoma City nationally. So unless you really follow basketball in the NBA, that's who gets involved with it. And when you look at other championships, the Super Bowl, the Kentucky Derby, the Masters, and you get people that usually come out and bet for that one time each year, there's not a lot of fans of these teams that will say, I want to get involved with this unless they follow basketball. Now, I think it's a great brand of basketball, and I'm excited to watch it, but I like the NBA. So for people that don't, it's tough for them to get involved.
So I'm looking right now at your book, and you're offering, by the way, 5 cent juice here on the game. So it's $1.05 either way, which is outstanding. And the Thunder are laying 10 minus 105, Pacers plus 10 minus 105. Have you seen much resistance at all on the number today with Oklahoma? Like, where's the buyback point coming with Indiana?
It hasn't happened quite yet. We opened this game 9 and got sharp money minus 9, went to 9.5, and now the public's followed at 9.5 to get us to 10. And we've yet to see anything plus 10. So, we're holding steady right there right now, but it might be 10.5 before we see something coming back on it.
Well, I'll keep that in mind if you're looking to bet the other side then tonight. Mm-hmm. How much has the 105 juice been popular with the bettors?
It is. It definitely helps out a lot. And, I think that's helped us with writing money on this series that, like I said, otherwise you don't expect too much out of with this type of matchup. But it you get people that get to save that extra money, or, if they don't know about it and they put up what they normally do, 110, they win a little bit more. So, it helps out with our handle. There's no question about it.
There's a lot of talk about a dynasty, and there's a lot of talk about it could be a crazy offseason with a lot of player movement. What have you done with next year's numbers?
Yeah, well, I opened the Thunder at 2-1. So that is that's going back to the Warrior favorites of, a few years back. And, just the expectation of they have so much maneuverability on that team, too, that if they wanted, they could go out and get Giannis and add him to their team. I mean, they just have so many assets, so many young players that they can do whatever they want with this team to get better than they are now. And if they did nothing, you're talking about this team maturing another year, a team that is 80-18 against the NBA this season. So, they're an obvious starting point. But then you have to look at these other teams that are young and have trade assets. And I'm relatively low on Houston and San Antonio from an odds perspective, because I think they can be ultra aggressive this offseason. And when you're talking about Giannis possibly moving, mm-hmm. you would think Milwaukee would want to look away from the East and look out West first and get the best package out West.
I'm curious because, some teams with monster numbers in the past couple of years have been in good spots in the Western Conference, not so much in the East. Now this year, the Pacers come through at a big number. Next year, is there a team? And I generally look at the West because the East is usually so top-heavy that it's tough, but no Tatum. Boston might be ripped apart. Knicks' new head coach, like you just said, Giannis might not be back in Milwaukee. Who would it be alongside Indiana and the Knicks next year?
Yeah, you think the East would be right there for the taking next year, like you said, without Tatum. And, you know, you could go down the board and maybe make a case for Orlando and Detroit in the 50 to 61 range. I think it's a little bit premature for those two teams. And I know you guys are going to hate me for this one, but the Sixers, if Embiid can be healthy, I mean, look at what they could be bringing back and what McCain did. He missed the year, their rookie from last year. They have the number three pick this year that they can either add that or trade. So the whole question would be Embiid's health. But if he's healthy, that's a team that can be a contender in the East.
Which player props are popular tonight over at the Westgate Superbook? I'm trying to make a case for a couple here today. I think Chet can have a big series. What have the bettors been trying to take advantage of with you, Jeff?
Yeah, they're betting Holmgren over his points, SGA over his points, and Halliburton under his points. Those are the three most notable ones that we've seen today.
And you put up, what, 33.5, I'm guessing, on SGA like several others?
Yeah, 33.5, and that's where we're still sitting on that.
Jeez Louise.
Wow.
What do you make?
Jeez Louise.
I mean, that his series-long average here is also 33.5 points. Do you have an opinion on that? That's a huge number that he has to average here for, you know, between 4 and 7 games.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if I did anything, I'd have to play it under, and if I lost, I lost, just because it's such a large number to iron out over the course of the series. So, you know, it takes a couple games where he might get 26, 27 points to really bring that down, and he'd really have to exceed that. And, you know, he might have one breakout game where he gets in the 40s, but, you know, he might have more that are less than that in the 20s to bring that down a bit.
It's a whole different ball game with the NHL. How it was priced, great game, supposed to be competitive in a long series. What were they betting last night, and how was the handle on game one of the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, the handle was terrific. We had a little bit more support for the Oilers in that one, and now we're probably expecting more support for the Panthers, and we're dealing the 10-cent line in the hockey, so it really helps out with handle there too. So, you know, you just move a game in this spot at a low number like that, a few cents, you're able to get that buyback really quickly. So handle was terrific, and the public came out on the right side last night.
Okay. I believe you're due for another shipment of Guinness with the Tiger Woods bet. I'll have that coming over shortly. So you've been doing this a long time. Scheffler is now plus 280 to win the U.S. Open next week. Can you walk us through, if we're getting into Tiger territory, and what those numbers were in the heyday, Tiger versus the field, and what the prices were when he was dominating golf?
Yeah, I mean, he was quite often less than 2-1, and so you'd have the buyback at, you know, $2 or so. And I still remember I believe it was the 2000 U.S. Open, when I was at the resort at Summerlin booking it, and Tiger was minus 125 to win the U.S. Open, and the field was plus 105, and Tiger ran away with it. So it didn't even matter. I mean, he crossed that threshold of being an odds-on favorite for that. And, you know, that's how solid he was back then. And it's remarkable what Scotty's doing, but he's a bit of a way away from that yet. And right now I have him plus 300 for next week, which means the field would be minus 360, not anywhere plus around even money.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you're the perfect guy to ask about this then. How was the field back when Tiger was dominating compared to today's golf? Because I've gotten into this recently with other people.
It was nothing comparable to what the guys are up against today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a few guys, Ernie Els, Vijay Singh, Phil Mickelson back then, and there were only a handful of guys that could really even test Tiger out. You know, once in a while you have a guy like Wai Yang pop up in a PGA championship, but it was just far and few between that they could actually do something to Tiger. So this year with the youth that are learning internationally, and you bring that influx in, there's many more international golfers now and guys that have grown up watching Tiger that concentrated on making this, you know, what they want to excel at. So Tiger's brought these better players into the game now, and golf's never been deeper than it is. So it's amazing what Scotty's doing against his current field.
Yeah. How about on a day-to-day basis? And now they got hot against the Miami Marlins, but the Colorado Rockies were, I think, a big national story with how bad they were before that series started. Were you guys getting mauled every day, or were you guys adjusting the numbers enough to take sharp money on the Rockies on the other side there?
No. Yeah, we were not getting mauled. We'd adjusted enough, and you'd find some sharp buyback. And, you know, the interesting thing was each time that the Rockies had their largest blowout loss, when they lost by 20 runs, the public would come in loading up on them for that next game. And those were the games the Rockies were winning,
yes,
coming back from the blowout losses. And we had some of our best wins for the whole baseball season on those games. So we're definitely in the plus booking Rocky games this season.
Always a number that you can adjust to, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't find it, you can just keep going to get what you need.
You can follow Jeff on X. He is at Golf Odds. He is the VP of risk management over at the Westgate Superbook. Jeff, thanks for the time today. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. Thanks. You guys, too.
All right. Good spot.
Progressive guest line there with Jeff.
Yeah. Good answers. Fun stuff.
The field is nowhere close.
Well, come on now. Let's just end this for everyone. And I can't believe we're having no matter what the sport, players today are bigger, better, faster, stronger. That it's not a debate. There's nothing to talk about.
Guys, they look like bowlers when Tiger was out there.
The bodies and the not working out. And now with all the technology and you know, chambers of people sleeping and all this stuff and get the body. Come on.
Yep.
I mean, it's like what LeBron said. What do you think Freak would do in the 60s? What do you think Freak would do in the 50s? Come on.
So you were red hot with the Rockies, by the way, against the Marlins.
What's the price tomorrow?
Do you plan they're going to be huge
for
dogs?
The bets. Don't let them get hot.
They are hot. There's going to be a big enough number, right? Books will make a big enough number, Paulie, okay, where people will find it attractive to bet.
Senga's $3 on the road against Sensatella. No.
Oh, but I thought you liked Sensatella. Okay.
No. They're playing the Marlins, maybe, but not against the Mets.
All right. More on the finals up next. Bets we like, players we're focusing on, and how we think this series will play out. And Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Some results today in Major League Baseball. The Giants just hung on to defeat the Padres by a score of 3-2. Don't look now. Robbie Ray is live in the National League Cy Young market.
Mm-hmm.
I think his betting number is around 30-1 as we speak. 7 strong today, 4 hits, 2 earned, 9 Ks. His ERA on the year is 2.44. He won the award in the American League a few years ago. He's got that kind of stuff. He is having a completely under-the-radar, fabulous season, and he did it again. What, Baltimore went to Seattle, and they swept the Mariners?
Yeah.
So there, dare I say, don't let the Baltimore Orioles get hot?
Yeah, a couple people have thrown out the comparisons to the Mets. Remember how bad the Mets were? Baltimore's won 9 of 11 now.
Yeah, they got to...
How about it?
Paul, nobody gets to Brian Wu. Nobody. The Baltimore Orioles got to him today. He allowed 2 home runs, 4 earned over 6. That's not who he is, nor is it what he does. He is super solid, reliable. He did give you 6 innings today, which was very nice to see. Again, because he's automatic for that, but was not sharp. And he does not allow that runs typically ever, but he did today. And Cal Raleigh hit another dinger. So for those of you who bet that, I believe he was below 3-1 like he typically is. Now home run number 24 on the season.
Yep. Earlier, I mentioned the $220,000 bet on OKC at Caesars, -9.5. And Jay-Z says, hold my beer. Jay-Z just bet $1 million at Fanatics on OKC to win exactly in 5 games, +230. Take back. So,
does Drake have a bet yet? Isn't Drake the one that we want to fade?
Yeah.
And I would think that he would go with SGA as well, the Toronto connection, right?
Yep.
He's got. He's. What does he have? $5 million on the Thunder. He likes to fire.
Yeah. Plays stupid on that roulette.
Well,
how much he bets on roulette.
They'll gladly take his money. Anybody would take his money.
Uh huh. Absolutely. So Jay-Z coming in for $1 million. 80-18 in the regular season and postseason. 29-1 against the East. More double digit wins than any team in NBA history. I mentioned what happened regular season, counting the playoffs. It's 61. So they're going to have to make it 62 tonight if they're going to cover. So the 9.5 or 10, that's out there. I love that Indiana's used bulletin board material all the way. Some people, I wouldn't say a lot, but a lot of people picked the Bucks. Some people picked the Bucks, rather. Most people picked the Cavs, and they were huge underdogs, and they used that as bulletin board in the locker room. And then you had the Knicks fan base as well, and a lot of people picking the Knicks, and Indiana came through there. So the big tickets had already cashed to win the East, and now can they close it at 125-1, which they were in January, to win it all? How are you going to hedge? You're going to try to monetize this? play the double maybe, to play the prop where Indiana never OKC never trails in the series. You can do that as well. But I'm not going to count them out here. And I think they have so much firepower and number one team shooting threes in the playoffs. Fingers are crossed for a long series and if they can hang. But certainly exercising the demons and having going through their bumps and bruises in the Denver series. They came out fantastic in that and grew up a little bit. And to take out Minnesota in five, you're going against the beast here and a hell of a team. But I think the Pacers have the firepower and how we want to get you in this track meet. We're going to wear you out and maybe work in their advantage. And I do give them the edge in coaching with Carlisle.
We tried to isolate previous finals teams that would comp to this Indiana team earlier in the show today. And if you go based on the overall series price going into it, the closest team would be the 2002 New Jersey Nets because the Lakers were a 750 favorite in that series. The Lakers eventually swept them. That Nets team had the likes of Keith Van Horn, Kerry Kittles, Jason Kidd. Kidd was about 10 years into his career or thereabouts at that time. They did not have a single player average more than 15 points per game in the regular season. They had four guys average right around 14 points per game. I think this Pacers team is probably better. Kenyon Martin was on that team than that New Jersey Nets team. But going into the finals, if you comp this Oklahoma City team to previous teams that eventually won, like, where would you be with them? Do you think that they're better than last year's Boston team? Boston was a 220. We played this when you were out one day, I think, on vacation. Von Tobel bookmarked this from last year. It was on ESPN. After the finals were set, they went around the dais and they asked everybody. Everybody made the case for Dallas.
Yeah.
Everybody said Dallas is going to win the series.
Hmm.
And I think it was Molly. What's her last name?
Cuam?
Okay. She goes, I'm going to go against the grain and take Boston. Everybody goes, ooh. They're a 250 favorite last year.
Yeah.
They beat them in five games.
Uh-huh.
Everybody picked Dallas. You're not hearing that about Indiana this year.
No.
Because,
It would feel like a huge upset, although it hasn't happened, though, as I talked about. Only two times in the last 50 years a team with 2-1 odds or higher have won the damn thing. But that's, I go back to 2003-04. That's the Pistons were 5-1, you know, kind of the same price, and they took out the Lakers in five. But this, what this is priced at, and most people picking it to go five, yeah.
I would say
they're not getting their credit and enough respect here. But it's kind of weird because they're being treated like a four seed, even though that's really not the case because they played so bad and had injuries.
Right.
And they got the second best record since January 1st. That's what you have to focus on.
Go back 2 years ago. Is this Indiana team better than Miami?
Yes. Oh yeah.
I would totally agree.
Yes.
So in that series, Denver was a 430 favorite to begin. Is this Oklahoma City team better than that Denver team? That's Joker 2 years ago, and before they lost their bench, they were deep. That team was awesome. And that's the same, well, not the same team, but we figured that Denver would beat Boston last year in the finals had they gotten there.
That's a tough question because Joker's the best player, and he can put up stupid numbers. And
I think the easy answer is yes, they're better, and I'm not so sure they are because they were deeper then. They had more guys on the bench.
Yeah.
And the team that I cannot go down that path is with 2017-2018 Warriors. That's the best team in the history of basketball, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So
even LeBron James didn't stand a chance.
Yep, no.
Yep.
So this Oklahoma City team is not as good as that Golden State team. But also, here's one. I'll throw back to the last time OKC was here. In 2012, do you recall that we're talking 22-year-old Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. They had home court in that series against Miami.
Not me. I thought they were going to win. They won game one.
They won game one.
Yes.
And they were $1.75 favorite to win the series.
Yeah.
And after that, that's all she wrote.
Yeah.
They really didn't have a chance. And Miami blew their doors off.
How about Dallas-Miami? No, it wasn't priced that way. But nobody gave Dallas a chance.
You're right. That was all
Dallas,
Miami.
Dallas surprisingly swept the Lakers and took them out, and that was everyone's pick. And then they beat OKC, I believe, and then got to the title. And then it was, Miami Heat, they're so good to get. And Miami led 2-1, and then that's it.
That was right away.
They had the best player, though. It was Dirk.
Yeah.
That was when LeBron didn't
hot,
have a post game.
I don't want the ball.
He played hot potato, and they put J.J. Barea on him.
Yeah.
And he just stood in the corner, and he wouldn't post him up.
He wouldn't go post him up.
Yeah.
He was scared.
It was bizarre. Absolutely. It was a different LeBron James. That little feel there. Not priced the same way, but certainly the media was all over the Miami Heat there. But as I just said earlier, they'd be the first champ that wasn't a top three seed or defending champion here if they're able to pull this off and shock the world.
Well, but again, imagine if the series, or I'm sorry, if the regular season started January 1st.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And they would have the second best record behind Oklahoma City. They'd be the one seed in the East, right? If that's when the season started.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give them their flowers. I mean, they beat a 64-win team in five games. They took out the Knicks in six. They took out Milwaukee. You want to say they caught a break with Boston? Okay, fine. But they were in the conference finals last year.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it didn't go well, but Halliburton got hurt because that's just how it played out, where everyone got hurt that happened to face the Celtics in the playoffs.
Now, what do you make of the total tonight? 230 is that number.
Yeah, I think it's telling. I don't want the under. And I think it's both teams are going to, as I said earlier, playoff possessions per game, OKC 2, Indiana 3. They want you to run. I think OKC will. I think it's get up and go, and I think it's high-paced, fast-paced.
In fact, I know the Thunder can thrive playing fast basketball.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I've seen it happen plenty of times this year in the regular season.
Yeah.
There was that two-game stretch where they played Cleveland in like 8 days. Those games were, I'm like, if this is the NBA Finals, sign me up right now because those were stellar basketball games, and it was like warp speed the entire time.
And I love it. It's by design. They want to get you in that pace to wear you out, and they jump on you too. And how many times did the Knicks give up a basket off a made shot?
Right.
Barkley was not, couldn't believe it. He lost his mind. He's like, this can't happen, and it repeatedly happened in that series.
All I'm saying is I think that can play in OKC's hands.
Okay. Might be right. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 plus a full pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. No-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter bets. Sign up now. Get a morning email from Bill 80 and best bets from every guest and every host. The betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. The dog videos and our NFL betting guide, which drops July 1st. Don't miss out this limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code BOOK. Code BOOK to sign up. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Tonight's Major League Baseball card is up next. We have a plus-plus matchup for one of the MVP frontrunners. I'll tell you how I'm attacking it from a betting perspective next here on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
5-3 Mets over the Dodgers. They go to the bottom of the eighth. Your updated number here, live betting, Mets minus 620. Dodgers around 4-1. So Ohtani just struck out to end the bottom of the seventh. So at this point for the Dodgers, Paulie, we're going to get the 2-3-4, which is Betts, Smith, Hernandez. Freddie Freeman had the day off today. But I would expect him to get plugged in here at some point as a pinch hitter. We're going to get another run in this game. Total's 8.5. You figure Diaz here comes in to close it out in the ninth. But do the Dodgers score here or the Mets get one across? The market is telling you that, yes, it will. Minus 175 right now to get one more run in this game.
I think that'll happen.
Before Diaz comes in.
Yes, yes. Or the Mets could get one, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Don't you like the Astros tonight?
Oh, I think you kind of have to with
Valdez,
right?
Yeah, $1.40 against the Pirates. How about these numbers? The Pittsburgh starters have an ERA of 2.35 in the last 24. Number one in baseball. They're two games under 500. I mean, it's just on pace to lose over 100 games. What happened the other day was Skeens. No score in the eighth. Gives up a home run. They lose. They couldn't even hit McCullers.
Yep.
It's a joke what's going on. So do you trust Keller, though? I don't. Valdez, $1.40. And peekaboo, here come the Astros as Seattle keeps losing and the Astros jump into first place.
Valdez has been terrific now for like four consecutive starts. Kind of the old guy who was the old Valdez, I should say, who was always like in the mix or the conversation or should have been anyway for the American League Cy Young. Hitter-friendly conditions tonight, Yankee Stadium. It's Ciccone going for the Guardians against Max Fried. Bounce back here for Max.
Yep. Bounce back.
So at home in six starts, 1.9 with the ERA. The whip is sub one, about 9 Ks per nine. The Guardians against lefties, eighth worst with WRC+, seventh worst WOBA. They have the fourth worst ISO. Ugh, not good. 103 with the ISO and the 10th highest K rate at 25%. Meanwhile, you flip it. Ciccone, 15 innings pitched so far on the year, 5.28 ERA. Here's the deal with him. Three home runs in his last start, five on the year, and based on his innings pitched, that's 2.93 home runs per nine. So with those batter-friendly conditions tonight, Judge is batting 380 against righties with 14 home runs. Dominguez is 286 with five home runs. Grisham has 11 homers against righties. Ben Rice has eight. I think home run props might be the play here tonight for some of these Yankees batters because Ciccone has been very prone to the deep ball. But you're going to get like plus 140 on Judge at this point as well.
Yeah.
Here's a player that I'm going to war with for the full season with MVP bets going back to much earlier in the year. And with tonight, again, warm conditions, batter friendly in D.C. between the Nationals and the Cubs. This is Ray versus Irvin. So Irvin on the year against lefties, the ERA is almost five, a 260 batting average, 35% hard hit rate. He's actually been lucky with the BABIP at around 275 and only 5.9 Ks per nine. Pete Crow Armstrong against righties on the year, 314 average, 170 with a WRC+, 413 with the WOBA, 308 ISO. Fantastic numbers overall. I could keep going on and on and on and on. He's minus 145 to have a hit plus run plus RBI, or to go over 1.5, I should say. Played that. He's even money over 1.5 total bases. He's also plus 125 to have an RBI tonight, which I like, and I also played. Now, Irvin, respectable numbers at home. 3.19 with the ERA and a 1.14 whip. He's allowed 10 homers on the year. We might get runs overall in this game. Ray has been worse on the road, and lefties have been really good against him this year. James Wood, here you go, 290 average, 11 home runs, yep. A 975 OPS, which is top 10, and he's also top 25 in hard hit percentage against righties on the year as well. I don't mind his player props, and I certainly am all in on PCA for tonight. I'll give you one more here to look at. So Reagans is going in game two of this doubleheader against the Cardinals. It's mm-hmm. Reagans against Liberatore. It's a very good pitching matchup. The question is, how long is Reagans going to go? How many innings slash how many pitches? He's off a short IL stint here with the Royals. So that's the big question. Here's the positive going into this game. Reagans, 14.19 Ks per nine, most among all pitchers with at least 40 innings pitched. A 37.7% K rate, also the most. 32.9 whiff percentage, that's only behind Skubal and Gore in all of Major League Baseball. St. Louis only strikes out 20.3% of the time, seventh fewest, but that number goes to 23% against lefties and left-handed starters are 13-5-1 over the K-prop against the Cardinals on the year. Recent numbers, Corbin had three that stayed under. Skubal had eight to the over. Cameron stayed under, but Reagans did pitch against him. He had seven earlier this year. Sanchez, Gore, Parker all went over. So if you told me right now Reagans is going to go like 80 pitches, I would like over 5.5. It's the numbers move back. It's like plus, it's in plus money territory now for him. Those are elite strikeout numbers that he has so far on the year.
I would take the Cardinals based on how bad he's been going back and the time off as well. And, so, and then the vicious beat in game one. It was 3-0 Royals in the bottom of the seventh. They blew it and lost 6-5 in extras.
So then here you go, right? Yeah. Extras and relievers were used in that game. It'd be nice if both these guys could be extended a little bit. Let me ask you this about Liberatore. He was rocked in his last start at Texas, five innings, seven hits, four earned. In his eight starts before that, he was 3-2 with a 1.91 ERA. The FIP was awesome, did not allow home runs. He was like stellar across the board. Paul, to allow that many runs on the road against Texas, a team that cannot hit, cannot score runs at home, any concern there with him going into this game?
I think it was a fluke. No, I think he'll be okay. Yep. Speaking of that team, which it was a fluke, Seager's 2 of 24 since he came back, and why not play Tampa again? They've won 10 of their last 11 at home. They're a small price tonight against Texas. Leiter's been okay the last couple starts, but all you know, you get the magic number's five. Texas can't get there, and how bad their offense has been. So why not go for three in a row here and take out Texas again?
How about this?
Kids cannot hit.
A Marcus Semien sighting for Texas. Last week of baseball, 8 of 14, 571 average of the home run and two doubles. I'm not getting involved with his player props at all. I'm just pointing out that he's been simmering here. And, yeah, he brought up the Rays. We've got to bring up Caminero one more time.
There he is.
8 of 24 in the last 7 days, 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, 3 doubles. Pena's been still warm for the Astros. He's batting .455 in the last week with a couple of home runs and a couple of doubles to boot.
Yeah, not much jumped out from player props in the late games. There was a lot of good stuff with the early games. But that already came and went, and Mets threatening to blow this. It's 5-4, and the tying runs on third with one out.
So there you
and
go.
And the Dodgers just tied it.
They just tied it at 5, huh?
Yep.
So, hold on. Could they even get to Diaz?
No, he didn't come in.
He did not come in, huh?
He hasn't pitched since Monday. What's going on? He didn't bring him in the other day, and they blew it in the ninth.
Yeah, that's all Reed Garrett right there.
It was.
Reed Garrett's been awesome.
Yeah.
Going back a couple years now. But okie dokie. So that 8.5, bam, flies over, and now the updated total here in the game is 11.5. Yeah, well, 5-5, and extra is pending, obviously, or looming. And now the Dodgers are almost a $3 favorite to win the game. They had to have this game. I mean, it was not going well for them this week, going back to Sunday Night Baseball when they took on the Yankees and got beat. I'll tell you what's difficult, trying to predict the six teams that are going to make the playoffs in both leagues.
Atlanta's in trouble.
They might
They're not playing good ball, and they blew that. If you missed it, they're up 10-4 in the ninth today and lost.
A lot of good teams in the National League.
There are.
You cannot say the same about the American League.
Yeah.
Try to find the six teams who are going to make the playoffs in the American League. You figure the Yankees are going to be good to go.
Detroit.
Detroit should be good. How about they lost 2 out of 4 to the White Sox?
I know. They 3-2 today. Come on.
I know.
There's something weird, though. Casey Mize is 0-5 against them. Going back, how weird is that?
Yeah, they'll be fine. They're in the playoffs. Do you think the Twins or the Royals can get in from that division? And then in the American League West, this current stretch by Seattle is terrible.
Yeah.
Swept by Baltimore at home. I know they got to get their pitchers back, and they've been hurt for a lot of the season. But are the Astros going to be a playoff team this year? Do you think the Blue Jays are going to be a playoff team?
Surprising a lot of people. I know. You don't have a lot there. A lot to work with. Yep. I am encouraged, though. The Mets are 20-11 against teams with a winning record. And that's flipped now with what's happened with Philadelphia, who got hammered again.
Again today, yeah.
And Lazardo. When they kept last game 12 runs he allowed. His ERA went from 2.15 to 3.58. Bye-bye any chance at Cy Young.
Well, I think it's high.
And he got roughed up again today.
Yeah, after today, it's almost touching 5 now in the year. Well, you want to talk about two now in a row?
Yeah.
20 earned runs in his last two starts? Yeah, the panic button is getting pushed in Philadelphia for sure. Let's follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In Pocket Plays are up next. This has happened 18 times in the history of the NBA, and I'm betting that we won't see number 19 this year. Details on that next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. Like the Pirate, wanted to play against the Pirates tonight. We got a rain delay, though, in Pittsburgh with Valdez going against Keller. And the Dodgers have now grabbed the lead. 3 spot in the bottom of the 8th and still hitting against the Mets. And
Mets are about 9-1 to come back and win now.
Wow. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if they do the same.
I wouldn't be surprised if they tie it up and it goes back, unless, you know.
Yep.
Dodgers score 10 more runs here in the bottom of the 8th.
There's the Astros, $1.40. Sebelenko was awesome today. What a performance to take out Iga in the semis and go on to the finals. She beat her 6-love in the third set. And ended her, I think, 24 match winning streak at Roland Garros. She's $1.80 against Coco Saturday morning in the final. I think she'll win. Coco had a breeze of it against Boysen and won 6-1. I think it was 6-2, 6-1 after that as well. And no, will there be 10-plus goals scored in a Stanley Cup final game? No, minus 170. I think the Oilers have made great adjustments, and I think it'll be low scoring the rest of the way. Certainly, I don't think we'll get 10 goals scored in a game. All the stuff now that the NBA Finals are here, and we got a game under our belt in the NHL and all the pending. No hat trick, minus 190. No shutout, minus 130. In trouble here. Total games to go under 1.5 in overtime. Panthers win the cup in 6 plus 475. The Thunder to go unbeaten at home in the finals, minus 120. I'm riding with Jay-Z under 5.5 games, minus 130. And I couldn't believe the price yesterday. I can't believe the price today. Bennett to win the Conn Smythe, 30-1. You can still get 20-1 after he scored 2 goals in the loss and still has the most goals in the playoffs. I don't understand it. He's past Bob.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm betting 20-1 for sure.
Yep. Good luck, everyone.
All right. Yep. Back at you, Paulie. Split these last night. Luis Ortiz over 2.5 walks, plus 115. Eventually got there and could not bring it home as Ebby Matthews. My apologies for that. Over 5.5 Ks did not come home. I'll tell you what. Are you like me? The losses, the feeling of losing a bet like Ebby Matthews last night over his K prop is much worse than the good feeling that you get when Luis Ortiz comes in with the walk prop.
Yeah.
The losing hurts more than the feeling. Yeah. That sucks.
I couldn't believe that. Shut him down. Oh.
What's that?
Well, they couldn't get anything off the guy.
So, and Zebby, by the way, last night, a couple things on that bet. If you told me that at 77 pitches, he was going to go, and he had 4 Ks, my prop was going to go over, would I bet it? I'd say no. I would not like my chances. However, they took him out. He just struck out the side. In the fifth, he did allow one run, but he struck out all 3 guys that he faced to get him out. So he had 4 Ks. If you told me, Mitch, you can bet on it, is he going to come out for the sixth at 77 pitches? I would have said yes, but they didn't. And the eight, give, you know what? Give credit to the ace. They did not strike out a lot in this series. Good job out of them. So moving forward, I have in the finals, SGA to average below 33.5 points per game. This is what I was talking about before the break. A player has averaged more than 33.5 points per game in an NBA Finals 18 times in history. Michael Jordan owns the record. Against the Suns, he averaged 41 points per game. Rick Barry in the 67 NBA Finals averaged 40.8 points per game, as did Elgin Baylor in the early 60s. But Giannis is the last player to do it back in 2021.
He had the 50-piece, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, that, I mean, all I can think about in that Finals is he covered the alley and the oop to block Ayton because he was covering, I think it was Chris Paul at the free throw line. And he recovered in time to block the dunk attempt by Ayton. It was one of the best defensive plays I've ever seen in my life. No hyperbole. But a lot has to go SGA's way here. He's going to have to avoid like a 20-point game. And, you know, if he goes for 48 tonight, it's going to be looking good. But there's the blowout scenario. That, you know, his minutes getting reduced a little bit. Blowout scenario maybe on both sides, by the way. Maybe we get a Minnesota game, a game 3 for Indiana, where they take, you know, put the screws to him. And
they've had the 2 stinkers in game 3.
I know.
They were down 30 in game 3 at Memphis.
Yep. A way that I'm playing the game tonight, big spot here, big series, I think, looming for Chet Holmgren. I think with the Indiana's troubles that they have rebounding the basketball and the fact that the offensive numbers for Oklahoma City are so much better when Holmgren's on the floor by himself and not Holmgren at the same time as Hartenstein means that he's going to get a lot of run. Hartenstein might be on the bench. I think he can have his way on the glass. I played him to have a double-double tonight and OKC to simply win the game. That's plus 154. And I love the matchup tonight for Pete Crow Armstrong. I bet him over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs minus 145.
Did he go deep? He went deep!
Did he go deep?
There you go.
He went deep.
There you go.
You can put it on the board. Yes! Let's bring home that MVP, buddy.
All right.
Here we go. Winner. Pete Crow Armstrong.
Nice job. Horse Racing's Triple Crown wraps up Saturday with the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. Jeff Siegel's on the show tomorrow. Getting on the action with our friends at First Bet, playing the free First Bet and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Enter your picks for Saturday's top race to win great prizes. Up to a $500 wagering voucher from First Bet. Head over to VSiN.com/Belmont to play. VSiN.com/Belmont. Good stuff. Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers. Jay-Z $1 million bet on Thunder and Five. $220,000 bet Thunder -9.5 at Caesars. Let's dance.
What are we talking about tomorrow? With the NBA Finals.
Probably short series.
OKC blows them out tonight?
I hope not, but that's... I don't know. It's hard. I didn't have a read last night. I didn't have a feel. I don't have a feel tonight.
I firmly believe the Pacers are a much better basketball team than people think. However...
Absolutely.
I'm curious, though. We just talked about that with previous teams and their power rating. I can't put this team next to the 2017-2018 Warriors. They're the best basketball team I've ever seen play. But are they that far behind them? How close is this? I'm not calling these Lakers teams like some of the best of all time, but is this team comparable? They're deeper, but Kobe was in his prime like in the 09 year, 10 with Paul Gasol.
They would have their hands full stopping that Warriors team.
They're not being that Warriors team in a seven-game series.
They couldn't score in Denver. That's the other thing. They could have lost that series.
How would this Oklahoma City team do against the early 2000s Lakers? They would not. Shaq would.
That's a problem.
I'm looking right now. In the 2000 finals, Shaq averaged 38 points a game. That was against Indiana. In the 02 finals, he averaged 36-3 a game. He would... they would have no answer for him whatsoever.
Yeah.
What would Chet look like against him?
Yeah. Well, the center position, you don't have the tip. Centers have been taken out of the game, and they shoot a lot of threes, and you don't have the guy who's got his back to the basket hardly anymore.
That's very difficult. You're right.
That's what it is. So, game's changed. Maybe it's but we'll see what the Pacers do tonight, and if they can knock down all these threes, and if it's high-flying, and a ton of points, as the total will tell you, and a frenetic pace.
Okay.
Could be a good one.
So I love where your head was at yesterday with Sam Bennett, 30-1, Conn Smythe. Just talked about that, adding 20-1. How about on the flip side? You can bet one guy on each side, you know, and make money on this. Do you want to bet Draisaitl +450? I'm just asking the question, why can he not win the award? Two goals last night, Paulie, including the game winner in overtime, and McDavid moved from +110 to -175?
He did set him up.
No, I understand.
He's got to put it home, though, too. So that's not bad. I think he's right there. He's got to be right there.
I think this series is going to play out like last night. I think these two teams are so even.
No, that was a hell of an adjustment, though, and a response from Edmonton. And the Knobloch with these in-game adjustments, he's something.
Yeah, I know.
And to shut them down in the third period.
Have you ever seen who's the fastest skater that's as skilled as McDavid is that you can ever remember?
Pavel Bure.
That from end to end, he was just a blur.
The Russian rocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
McDavid's a joy to watch, man. The way they set him up, they're like, okay, buddy, here you go. And then, zing, he goes 100 miles an hour to the other side.
Yeah. Gretzky was great, too, where he would come down and then take the slap shot from the side. Then he would bury it.
How good of a sniper is Draisaitl, by the way? He knows his spot, right? That's like a guy who knows a spot on the basketball court from 15 feet and in. I know where I got to be. I can knock it down every time. Just whoosh, left-handed like that from the side.
And Ovechkin on the power play.
Right.
Kind of the same thing.
That last goal was exquisite.
That's huge, though. To be down 3-1 and come back and win
That's
against that team.
How many teams in the league can do that?
I know.
I think that's probably it. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, they come from behind down two goals, and it's... What is it, their eighth come-from-behind win in the playoffs, what they've had?
That was a fantastic game.
It was awesome.
Yeah, maybe the finals are like that tonight as well. Stay tuned. Primetime is next. Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns. Good luck with the bets tonight. We're back tomorrow at 4 Eastern.